In right now, it is 4:18, and this is November. This is November 8th. I just rushed in here like crazy. It's November 8th, and this is the HETS committee. And members that are present are Representative Sisna and myself, Wilson. And online we have Pat Carr and Chuck Burnham. And in the audience we have the Commissioner, Carlene Jackson, Jerry Fuller, and Stephanie Birch. So we don't have a quorum. So we won't be able to vote.
Well, I wanted to put in my little proposal, so we can't even take my little proposal.
Well, we can look at it. I brought...
Yours is a proposal, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and I forgot my copy upstairs. Do I need to have my copy? I probably need my copy, don't I?
I've got...
Oh, you've got a... Oh, you are so good. Thank you.
They're so good.
They're so good. Oh, you guys are so good. Why can't we have them up at this table?
They can be.
Yeah. Why don't everybody come move forward so that we have microphones and everything in front of
us. I'm an old lady. I can't hear. I can't communicate with people that far away. You know what? I'm going to start being honest about that. I like everybody close to me.
This is
an age thing.
This is Dan DeRue down at the Juno LIO, and I made a mistake in setting up the meeting where I had to register callers with a security code. So I've rescheduled the meeting, and everybody's going to have to call back in right now. So we're going to end this one and restart the next one right away.
Okay, we'll just take a small break.
I'm sorry about that. Thank you.
We're going closer. Questions from the last time.
Okay.
That's all that's in here, and it is way the binding.
We kind of got started, those 10 people kind of got started on something that would work for our state while we were there, and then when we came back, we continued that, and we've met several times, and probably about 5 times. And so we have pulled together some of the most important topics that we felt needed to be addressed. However, I want to make definite comments that we did not go over everything in the HESS budget by any means at all. And so there's a lot more, but I think we were able to pull together some standard ideas and some recommendations that will really make a difference as we as a state look to the future and try to make the decision. To make the decisions on how we're going to spend our health care dollars. And we've got to be very careful because we're going to have a complete change in the demographics in just a few years, and we have to start preparing for that now. And we don't know where we're going to be at from year to year because of the price of oil goes up and down. And so we have to make sure that what we do put in place is sustainable. And so we have to be very careful. We just can't jump in with all our fingers and toes and figure that we can just do whatever we want to, because we don't know if next year we'll be able to even sustain what we're doing this year. So we have to be very careful. I think the group really did a great job of working together and looking at things and trying to come to some conclusions. All this is right here is Carlene and I got together and tried to pull. We were frantically taking notes especially during the last meeting. But we've all taken notes as we went along. So we've tried to pull together all the different comments and the things that we could agree on as a group. And so that's what our final. Recommendation is, and we were hoping that we would have a quorum today so that we could get this pulled together. And what I might do, if there is some opposition, that would be one thing. But if there's no opposition and everybody can agree, we might be able to go ahead and proceed anyway and give this into our new administration that's coming in and our new House and Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to, you know, I'm hoping that we can do that so that we can start right out with really, and I like the phrase, starting, looking through the lens looking through that lens with several different thoughts in mind. And we've got basically eight of them, I think, we put down on paper and as recommendations for the whole legislature. And so having said that, that kind of is a basis of what we're with what's before us right now. And Sharon, you had, I'm going to let each one of you just explain your comments, and then we'll go from there.
And may I make a comment to Madam Chair? And that is, this is not like a standing committee or even a committee of the legislature, as I understand it, which means that why in the world couldn't we do is exactly what you say, and that's even do a telephone, maybe even a teleconference entirely, and come up with checks, see if there's any big feelings that are negative, and then go ahead and approve it.
But HES is a standing committee, and this is going to be a recommendation of not only the grouping of 10 people, but also of the HES committee itself.
So you've got to have the HES committee here to do what you want to do.
You know, and we might be able to, I'm going to have to check with the powers that be to see. I don't want to do anything that isn't official. And I don't think we can do anything right now. And I might just take a quick break in a little bit and do some checking on that. And but until then, Sharon, why don't you, Representative Sisna, why don't you go ahead and explain what you want added to that?
You betcha. And thank you, Madam Chair. And I sort of was trying to figure out where I would like the placement of this, where I thought it might fit. And I sort of had an idea that it might fit in as between the fourth point, the healthcare system funding and focused on preventing, and then the policy makers taking a leadership role, because it seemed to fit there. But other people might have other thoughts. But my concern, and you've got a copy, I think everybody's got a copy of this in front of them, and my concern was that we're preparing Alaska and we're partnering with Alaska in going into a future that is uncertain, that we don't know what the funding is going to be from year to year. That's always been true, but until we really embrace the fact that that is the fact and start incorporating the public into the hard reality of this and getting them to be partners in tough decisions, we're going to wind up having this ignored year after year. I've seen so many different studies come through that have been ignored. Getting the public involved in the hard choices at the beginning, I think, makes a difference. And that's the first sentence in here is saying that we do need to have public comment. We need to figure out a way to make that effective. And what I've seen, the second sentence really addresses the fact that there are corporations and organizations that I have seen in many remote places in Alaska that have really been using the teleconferencing system that we have here, but they bring in multiple communities. I was at one site where there were 30 communities you saw them on the screen. And it's really very a tangible difference. I think the administration is ahead of the legislature. I think the administration, if I'm not mistaken, I've been talking to people and asking them, and people keep saying, oh, well, yeah, we're doing that. We have one down in our office. We don't have them in the legislative building. In the Capitol, the governor's floor does, but you're trying to fit in your meetings with the governor's schedule. and why the legislature wouldn't have that advanced equipment. It's not expensive. The Health Caucus this next week, we're going to have the community college out at Glen Ellen. They have six sites in the area that they can teleconference, they can video teleconference, because people get socked in and they can't get to the campus there in Glen Ellen. And they can teleconference, video teleconference, all of their classes to six sites. We got to do that. And that would be a really good way to bring people in from all over Alaska. It'd make a big difference to us and to the state, I think. That's what this amendment is.
Well, it's going to be interesting how we're going to be able to do some of these things, because the people of the state have just voted to cut the length of the legislature down to 90 days, and all that is cutting out public debate. And so I don't think many people realize that that kind of is what, if we have to crash everything into a little bit smaller amount of time, we might be looking at cutting public participation, and that's unfortunate, you know. So I don't know what will happen.
Well, Madam Chair?
Yes.
If I might say that I heard a lot of people saying that they wanted us to be closer to them. I really have not heard that people didn't want to know what was going on.
I haven't heard that either.
Yeah.
No,
and
I didn't mean that.
This would really make it possible. And actually, if we had this set up right, we as a body could be having more interim meetings, and you in Wrangell or any community that you happen to be in could be talking to all of us, and we'd all be seeing each other face to face. I think it would be,
it'd be wonderful.
A real benefit. Okay. I think if we're going to make the policy changes we need to make, I don't see how we do it without it, personally. But anyway.
Okay, and then so you're looking at putting this after number four and then renumber the rest of them accordingly.
Yeah.
Okay? Anyone have any comments on that? Okay. Then, I don't see any reason that we can't add that, because in most of the things that we do in state government, we try to do something like that and probably many times don't get as much public comment as would be nice to get, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that at all. And Stephanie, you had some comments, so I'm going to let you just kind of go into your comments and where you think they might fit in what we've already done.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Sounds like I am. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Stephanie Birch. I'm the Section Chief for Women's, Children's, and Family Health, the Division of Public Health. In my comments, although the attachments that I had didn't get included in on that, I can sort of summarize them fairly easily. I had gone ahead, and I understand Pat Carr had put originally the list together of all of the websites and documents, and I have to say she did an outstanding job with that. I updated that a little bit to add some of the maternal child health documents and websites that are available. I also included, I think, a really important plan that has just recently been released that is on the Office of Children's Services website for the Early Comprehensive Care Assistance Grant. And they've gone through and done, I would say, sort of a scan of the environment regarding systems of care that are available and what deficits in this fairly large group that helped assess the state, the deficits that exist out there for both health care as well as early learning care.
Yeah.
And put a nice link together with that.
How long, I mean, is this
the executive summary just came out, I would say, in October, and I can get a copy of that to you if you haven't seen that already. And then the full report is going to be out on the web here shortly. So I added the website to this long list that had certain kind of gotten together. I think I even added a couple of other little finer websites, because the early intervention program is in the Office of Children's Services. And although they don't have a five-year plan or anything, I think it's helpful to know where some of those resources exist, because they make such an impact, I think, to the long term. outcomes of children. And then my other comment was that under attachment C, I'm not sure who had authored that particular wording. I sort of assumed it was you. It was very nice. You had a nice example of early brain development. And I put a plug in for improving birth outcomes because really you won't have necessarily a good brain to work with unless you've done a good job prenatally and preconception to sort of get yourself a healthy baby. And that's really, I think, I would argue that's where the money savings is going to be, is if we give babies a better start and do a better job of caring for mothers in between their pregnancies so we get a longer span of time in between each pregnancy and also get them sort of back to a good health status prior to them having their next pregnancy, or perhaps have them keep their family size at a size that seems reasonable and works well for their long-term reproductive health plan. So I offered that sort of suggestion. I didn't necessarily give any wording to that. I can certainly do that. But I think to add that to number, it'd be letter to attachment C, and then it was currently number 4, which I think would be now number 5 if Representative Sisna's amendment was added to that.
C, and then add it to number.
Currently, I think it's number 4, and it's
it probably would still be 4 then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Madam Chair, do we have a copy of
No? Oh, yeah, it's in that.
It's in here.
Oh, yeah. It's
in
not.
Yours. No?
Just these comments.
It's not. Oh, okay. Okay. We'll get a copy of it,
yeah.
Right?
What I was referring to in terms of number 4 is the attachments that went out that Representative Wilson has sent out. But
okay. Then maybe I just haven't even looked through. But no, since you gave me one sheet, and I probably have it up on my desk. All right, thank you, Madam.
So, sure. Thank you. That would be my comment for consideration.
And that kind of leads us into the next one. But I appreciate that. And anybody else that has anything that they would like to add that they think that it would that we need to pursue something that we've gone through but I didn't get on here, feel free to say anything, because this, I'm not married to this by any means, and if we can improve it in any way, that would be wonderful. Representative Seaton mentioned it last time. I can't remember if he mentioned it on, I think at the very end of the last meeting that we had. And he would like to see a pilot program where we would pick 2 or 3 villages and give them vitamins, the young women, vitamins that had enough folic acid that they would need and everything, so that they would already be taking them, so they would already be used to doing it, and just see if that makes a difference in some of the birth outcomes and things like that. And, we would have to put that, but that could not be that expensive of a pilot program to run to see how we could work it out, So I think those type of things that's the only way we're going to find out if they work, is by trying them. And that can be an excellent, at times I gave my children all had vitamins when they were growing up, depending on the money situation at our house. And I think that would be fantastic, for us to be able to follow up and see if there is a difference.
Yep.
So I think it would be if we did several rather than just one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's an excellent recommendation. And he would also like to continue the discussion on consumer-driven healthcare. And my only comment is I think that is wonderful, but I think we learned from the from our past experience over the last 3 years with the CPAs, no, C, not PCAs, PCAs, and certified personal attend. Yeah, personal care assistant, there you go. And
that just mushroomed overnight from 8 million to 80 million. And so we have to be very, very careful how we craft things and how we put things in place. But I think that definitely, that program has saved money in long-term care. It's saved money in assisted living. But it kind of got out of hand, and we'll have to just watch that. And now that we know that what can happen if we don't think of every single thing we can think of to make sure that we have really pretty sturdy guidelines on everything that we do put in place.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Jerry Fuller, Medicaid Director. I'd like to comment on the various things you just mentioned. You know, I think doing some sort of a vitamin supplement for a population is a good idea. I would just suggest that if that's to be pursued, that you perhaps pull in the epidemiologist and or UAA to make sure that your sample size is large enough that you get results that have meaning. The folic acid neural tube issue might be one birth in 10,000. You know, I don't know what the statistics are, but...
That's about right.
Oh, okay. I guess right. And so you need a fairly significant... you may need a fairly significant size, more than a couple, three villages, in order to get any results that have validity and applicability to the general population. Intuitive, we know that, yeah, the folic acid will... greatly reduce the incidence, but if you want to make it more scientific or valid, then you probably need to get the academics involved to design that.
Excellent recommendation.
Madam Chair?
Representative Sisna?
To that point, I think the existing number six does sort of talk about both six and seven. I haven't read them carefully, but nonetheless, the sound data, so that we're doing this thing in evidence-based accepted principles of and you have a blind study and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And you'd be very careful to make sure that legislators know exactly what's going on so that we actually pay attention to the results. That's always one of the problems, is that how many studies have come out that we didn't know about, and unfortunately, just with so much paper that comes our way, if we kind of aren't a part of really watching it as it proceeds, sometimes it just goes by, and I keep on thinking of things that I remember were being done, but it's not easy to track it. And so if we could somehow facilitate a better way to make sure that policymakers know what's happening and where the data is, I think it'd be easier for us to do a good job.
And then, Madam Chair, in response to Representative Seaton's query about health savings accounts, consumer-directed health care, I pulled off of the Internet several GAO studies and some other materials that I brought today. I only have one copy, unfortunately, but I will leave those with you for distribution. To give you a summary.
GAO studies?
General Accountability Office, I'm sorry. Is that a quarter in the kitty? my summary of what I have here today and other things that I've read is that there's a certain segment of the population where they make quite good sense. Keeping in mind that they were put together originally as a tax-deferred savings, if you will. And so what I'm seeing thus far is that for the relatively healthy, relatively wealthy folks, it's a good way to save money, and you don't spend it on health care, so it's a different way of savings. Health savings accounts have been incorporated into the Florida Medicaid demonstration waiver, but that is only now just beginning. And so I guess I would suggest that the conclusions about how health savings accounts and the high deductible insurance plans apply or are applicable to other populations, less healthy and definitely poor, the conclusions aren't there yet. So it's interesting, but from my point of view, it may be premature that we don't want to jump in both feet at this point. So, but I have a lot of materials that I'll leave with you.
Okay, thank you.
And then the last part was around PCA. And, you've heard me talk many times, 10 studies, 12 studies about the long-term care and the burgeoning cost. And whatever the policymakers might direct the department to do, keep in mind that it does take a significant amount of oversight to keep things on track. And there may be resources necessary, either contracts or additional state staff, to adequately pay attention to what's going on. You can be certain that if we don't, the growth curve will be unacceptable. And so through the regulatory process, through adequate staffing, you can pretty much keep track and actually get a better product. So those who, to use the phrase of our new governor, truly needy, will get the services that they need. So I would just mention that putting out changes in programs or new programs or whatever do need adequate support in order to keep them under control.
That's good. Very important. I think as legislators sometimes, especially if it's depending on where the budget, what the budget's looking like, if you're making cuts, then you don't want, you think, well, okay, we've got to cut here, we've got to cut here. Well, then, but if we start something else, then we've got to look at, we've got to make sure that the program, anything that we do have, isn't left hanging there because there's not anybody to oversee it. So that's a very, very good point there. Anything else? I'm going to ask Carlene, the commissioner, Carlene Jackson, sorry, if she would like to make some comments before I take a break.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to thank all the people that have been involved in the process of getting us to this place of recommendations and appreciate especially those of you that came this afternoon to look at trying to put something together to get out to the body. So thank you all for your work.
What I would like to do is go ahead and incorporate these last suggestions, all these suggestions, in with as part of the recommendations, and then I would like to. We are going to take a break. Hopefully, it won't be any longer than 3 or 4 minutes. But so we're going to take a break now, and at ease, I guess you'd say. Okay. Wanted to double check with the rules just to make sure what we could do as a committee, and as long as we're not passing any legislation or anything like that, we can, as long as we have consensus, and we'll get consensus. I will check with each person before we do this, and as long as we have a consensus of everyone, we'll be able to do this. So what we'll do is I'll try to get back with you a little bit on how to get this all incorporated and how to get it worded, and then we will go ahead and send it. I would like it to send it to the old administration and the new administration, and then does anybody have any ideas how we should do it to the legislators? If we do it to each one individually, will they pay that much attention? I would like to know if it would be better to do it like to the incoming HES committee or to the the finance committee, or just do it, should we just send it to every legislator, of this new term?
Madam Chair, may I make a suggestion?
Yes.
This is this probably sounds like me too. And that would be that I think it would be very appropriate to send a letter from you as the chair of the HES committee, and that this group has been working on this, and these are recommendations, and then have an information session either in the first days of the new session or before, and try to see if we can't get the new
representatives, for instance, familiar with the teleconferencing system. And, you know, the people, our IT people here in the legislature, the legislative affairs folks, are seeking to find ways to expand the use of our video system. And, in fact, we probably can connect to a lot more communities than we realize. It's possible, and it's not hard. It's the expensive stuff has been done by other groups that would probably let those legislators come to their place. We might be able to do this by video teleconference and really get to people where they live. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that'd be neat.
And then have the department do a briefing of this much abbreviated form of the rich information that we received. I think it'd be really great, and it'd be a really neat way to have all legislators have, especially the new ones, get caught up. Because think about how big a distance they have to come in a very short period of time. And, Commissioner, I think you made a comment to that. It's really hard to expect people to really know what they're going to be in for. And this would be a nice introduction.
And Madam Chair, this is Commissioner Jackson, and I would definitely support that. I'm also in a little bit of an awkward situation in that I can promise anything, but I may or may not be the person sitting in this chair. So what would be helpful for the department would be for the committee to ask the commissioner of the department to do those kinds of briefings with the new legislators, and then whoever is there can get the support of the folks that were on this team, and if I'm not here, the work can continue on.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to, I just don't want to overwhelm somebody so that they just go, this is too much, you know. But if we just go into just our, I'm wondering, I guess I would like, Representative Sisson, I would like you to expand on what information are you talking about? Are you just talking about this information right here that were our recommendations?
Yeah, okay. The recommendations and then the points behind those recommendations. If it was done in a fairly, I can see where there could be some rather short explanations that would, the department, this is their work. They know it. They've got examples. They've got real-life situations. They can actually make it come to life. And some of these legislators, especially from urban areas, don't really understand what the state is up against in the department and the various communities that, and the incredible problems. And, Madam Chair, you know because you've been working in those areas, but, boy, think of all the people that just have not had that experience. And your recommendations have reasons for being, and they can actually paint that picture. And I don't know how much time, but I think, you know, make it not make it painful. Make it an hour, maybe an hour and a half or something like that, and speak to each of the issues and some explanation of why.
Mm-hmm. And, Madam Chair, it occurs to me that you also have a lot of people on the committee and that have come as part of the team connected to this committee that are on other committees. And should those committees invite the department to do presentations, they could be tailored to whatever time frame you had and whatever focus was needed around these issues. So I'm speaking on behalf of all my staff in the department and offering up their time freely, and they can hit me later. Definitely there is expertise in the department to be used, however it's going to be helpful.
Yeah, real talent. Well, fine. We'll see what we can pull together and do just that. I would like to just, before we close today, just want to thank everybody that has worked on this, because there has been a lot of work and a lot of searching around. There's been actually research that was done. There was, you know, everybody has pulled together and we've talked. And it's really a shame that the whole legislature couldn't have been in on this, because you learn a lot as you go along. And even when you're aware of some of the things, it just helps so much more when you can talk back and forth freely and you're all working toward the same goal. So I really want to say thank you to everyone that was involved. Every one of you
I really appreciate it, and I'm very thankful that in almost all the meetings we had real good turnouts. Today was, but yesterday was election, and everything is kind of crazy for everybody today, so I understand that. So anyway, we will pull this together. I will go ahead and get in touch with each person to see where we stand, and if they've read it and what their expectations are, and we'll get this out, and I will try to get it out by the 1st of December. If that's okay with the rest of you, that'll give us some time, but that would be, I think, would be a good goal if we could do that. So, and sooner if we can, but if we can't, that's at least, that would give them the month of December to, and a lot of us, because we've had so much going on this year, and two special sessions and now a third one, and an election in the meantime, so it's been kind of crazy. So anyway, thank you very much, everyone. And Stephanie, you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering, too, once we have our document completed, I think it would be great to send it to the three or four organizations that sponsored the meeting that got us together. Yeah. I know I had an opportunity to present our work to date at the Association of Maternal Child Health Programs. The other states that attended with us were quite envious because, really, and I have to compliment you on your leadership, you've kept us moving along and sort of grown the group by getting additional information out. And so we're sort of the shining star of that particular effort, and I really have to hand it to you to have moved us, you know, kept us moving along, and we'll have a product at the end. So I really would like to suggest that we would send the document off to those four organizations that sponsored that meeting.
Good idea.
There was some discussion about perhaps inviting us back, to sort of say, here's how it's done. So that might be a nice opportunity, because they're always looking for, there's a lot of work that the organizations put into this. There's money that's attached to doing that, and I think they hope that there will be products that will come out of this and some movement forward. And I think particularly with the new administration, if we can even get some attention and some information, that would be even, a greater positive step towards what we're really trying to do.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We will definitely do that. Thank you, Stephanie. Anyone else would like to make any comments? Okay, then I guess we are adjourned.
Thank you.